I'd like to think a little tonight about the mind. The Lord made an incredible, incredible thing when He made our minds, the abilities that we have. I think I told Sister Maxine this. The evolutionary theory is that man came from one-celled creatures and have evolved to the point that we're at now and are still evolving. And so by that theory, man's minds are getting better. I mean, more mind. I think it's actually the opposite. I think God's creation was the best, and I think we've been losing mind cells ever since. But the idea of what He made, I'm 55, and I can start thinking. I mean, memory's a wonderful thing, to think that I can still remember my childhood events and things very vividly from my childhood is amazing. After all the years, that there's some kind of a storage in there for my mind, and I can recall those kind of things. But and the Lord almost definitely wouldn't let me live to be too awful old here. But could you imagine being Methuselah and pushing in on 1,000 years and talking about your childhood? I think the mind was capable of all the memories that they had back then. I think he had an incredible mind back then to be able to have that much information put into them and all. But we have an incredible thing called the mind that the Lord has given us. And I know that the blessings of it are incredible, but also with it, the reason we have the battles that I have, even if there may be other agents involved, there could be people involved or in fringes of it, but the battle that I have is never you. The battle I have is always in my mind. The battle that I have fought in my mind is usually about things that don't even happen, or may not even be proven that they will happen, or may never happen. But the battle is still real in the mind, because the mind is got an incredible imagination and being able to deduce and add and subtract and do all those things and come up with ideas and things like that. Of course, there's influences on that that can make a difference on it too, but we have a mind. And I want to think a little bit about it tonight, and we'll start off with a scripture in 1 Peter, the first chapter. I'll go back a little bit. I'll go back to 9. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired in. Search diligently who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto yourselves, but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desired to look into. Wherefore? Now, that wherefore, when you hear that, see that in the scriptures, it is a reference to what was just said. I'm thankful for salvation tonight, aren't you? I'm so glad to be saved. I'm glad that the Lord had mercy on me. And if you're here tonight and you've experienced salvation, you believed on the Lord Jesus. You couldn't be saved if you didn't. You believed on the Lord Jesus. You believed in the blood that He shed. You believed in the story of His love to you. Not just love, but a dying love. A love that goes beyond. A love that was willing to suffer for you. That you have believed on that kind of love when you were undone. A filthy sinner, everything that Christ is not, was not, and never will be, He died for you. And in an expression of the love, there is no greater expression than that He would suffer and die for you. And you've accepted that. Now, I want to ask you something. Is it practical of mind to believe that unto salvation, then believe that from that point on that the Lord would leave you undone? Would it be practical to have a faith to believe in salvation? I say it's not impossible, but is it practical to have a faith that would you could believe into salvation through and His love for you, and then that be taken from you, and you not believe that the Lord will keep you in every place in your life? Because surely if He loved me enough to sacrifice and die for me to save me, He wouldn't want to lose me, would He? So salvation is more than just initial experience, but they that endure till the end shall be saved. So the Lord is wanting to inspire all of our hearts tonight to not only believe into salvation, but believe that the Lord will work our salvation. He is working our salvation all the time. We needn't doubt. We needn't think that I'm saved now, but the devil's going to take me over. The Lord defeated the devil in your salvation. The devil tried everything he could to keep you from coming and believing on the blood of Jesus, having faith to believe in, to be saved. He done everything he could to keep you from it, and the Lord got you anyway. So why would we believe that we would go and the devil would overtake us? There is nothing that the devil can do when we're in his hands. And the Lord loves each and every one of us. Let that be an established fact in your mind. In your mind. Grab a hold of that. And establish that in your mind. That the devil may come. He may catch you up in this. He may do this. He may lie. Whatever he does. But you can look at the devil and let this be the solid place of our faith. That you can look at the devil and say, Jesus loves me. Devil, Jesus loves me. He died for me and he's going to keep me. And you're a liar. He says in this passage, wherefore, if you've been to that place and you've got that experience of that experience of Christ in your life, wherefore? He says, gird up the loins of your mind. Now, the illustration here, of course, is from the ancient day. Their clothing wasn't like ours, and they wore longer robes in those days to cover themselves. They wore robes and they was cumbersome. They were cumbersome to work in, to do things in. So people that needed to, travelers, soldiers, laborers, they would pull them up. Take them and pull them up from there, and then they would pin them around. They would pull them up that they could have freedom of motion, freedom of movement, to be able to do whatever they needed to do. You wouldn't want something wrapped around your legs if you was trying to fight the enemy. You wouldn't want to be hindered if you're a runner with a message. You wouldn't want to be hindered if you was a laboring. You would want to have freedom of movement. So you see it in the scripture a lot of times where it says, gird up your loins, get ready to run. But this says something different here. This is what it means to me. Because I take special note when I'm reading the scriptures. When I'm reading about, and it's saying about how God loves me, that's special. But it puts no burden on me. Other than the acceptance of it. You got to accept Jesus' love. You got to accept God's love. But I have no more burden than that. Stand still isn't much of a burden to stand still. But this is an action part. Who's going to gird up your mind in this scripture? Is God saying for you to do something and gird up your mind? The responsibility of girding up your mind is in this scripture. This passage is squarely on you. This is on me. Wherefore, you, Marty, if you've got to that place of salvation and now it's time for you to make a difference. It's time for you to run the gospel race. You're going to do that. Gird up your mind. Gird up the loins of your mind. Don't let it be as it was in the days of the close. It was free flowing and loose. Don't let your mind be free-flowing and loose. You can't afford a free-flowing, loose mind. You can't allow your mind to just travel off on anything, going anywhere, doing anything, taking on anything. Beware of what you'll let your mind get on. I don't know about you, but I have wished that there was a on-off switch for my mind. And I hope you don't have this kind of trouble. But when I get mine geared up real good, they ain't no quick way of shutting it off. I mean, I've tried a lot of different things. I mean, I'll even go to soak in the tub. I'll try to take a shower, try to change situation, trying to relax myself down. But when I get really fired up in my mind and it's really firing, I just turn it. I got to go to bed. I got to go to sleep and it's running or problems or burdens or whatever it is. You know, there's things that's right. There's things that's good. There's things of jobs. There's things to do. And the Lord still says, gird up your mind. You can't make a good run in the Lord with a loose flowing mind. You can't just let it do and go and just anywhere you want it to go or whatever you want to take in. And the warning and the idea here is that we're busy people. It's a busy time, isn't it? I mean, there's so much busyness around us, busyness of mind. Gird up your mind. What it means is to pull it up and tie it real tight together. Put it all in real tight together so that you can make a good run for the Lord. It's going to be really, really hard to get your mind focused because you know the truth of it is we're intelligent beings. Well, some more than others, but we're intelligent beings by creation. And God works through the intelligent mind that He made. That's the way He works with us. Through the intelligent mind, through the Spirit, and the mind that He gave us. And if I let my mind just run off on everything, don't have to be bad, but if I let it run off on everything all the time, you'll never hear what the Lord's saying. The Lord wants to be able to lead us, and He's going to do it by impressions to the mind. It doesn't show up in an Instagram. It doesn't show up in a tweet. It shows up in an impression of the mind, of the heart. And if I've busied myself, I used to work in surveying. I know what it was. The boss used to give me surveys and I'd get to run the whole survey all the way through. He was the licensed land surveyor and he was the guy that ultimately had to stamp it. But I would get a job and I would do the research at the courthouse and I would do that. And it was wise of him to do that because when he gave me a job, it was something that I put something into more than just doing on the job. Give me a job and I've got to run the thing. And I don't know how many times I'd go home from work all day, go home from work, lay down at night and start calculating how would you calculate that corner there? What is the boundary law of it? How would you do it? Well, I got this corner over here and this corner and there's five different corners in between them that's not found. We don't know where they're at. So I would prorate the distances to them and the angles and I'd average them out and put them in places or you could do this. You could assume the stump was there my mind would run all the time running. Nothing wrong with that in itself. But you know, if you've got that going on, then you got a passion for fishing going on. Then you got something else going on over here and you've got troubles that people bring it, and you got burdens over here that you labored down with, and the Lord might be saying, Hey Marty, I don't hear nothing, not much of this. So He's giving us an idea here. Gird up. Bring it up. Listen, life is too busy to miss out on the Lord. It's too busy. It's too busy, and if we're not careful, we're going to miss out on the valuable things of life. If we don't slow ourselves down and pick up the things that the Lord wants us to. Get a hold of our minds. We need to control our minds. Because they can be off on anything, doing anything. It's an incredible thing the way our minds work. The way it can layer things and think about things. And so He says to gird it up. Well, there are some particular things that I like to think about. One is brought out in 2 Timothy 2 Timothy 1. Oh, let's see. Seventh verse says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." That spirit of fear is not of God. It is something that takes away from our experience with God. I'd be willing to, everyone would probably say, if I was to ask, have you ever been in that place of fear? Have you ever been into that place of being afraid beyond just the normal fear? There's a fear of God. There is a fear of the natural things that is a good element to have. I hope my children's afraid of going 100 miles an hour. It'd be a good thing to have that kind of a fear. It would be a good thing to have a fear of danger and things that could harm you or hurt you. It'd be wise to have a fear of falling from God's grace. It would be good to have a fear of missing out. There's a healthy fear that's involved in it. But God didn't give us a spirit of fear. And yet fear is a prominent part many times of our experience. And the Lord, I believe, would say about that, gird that up. Get that tied up. Don't let that be loose and flowing and be a part of the things that will hinder you in your race. Because there could be that the Lord would call you to something. And there is the fear of bodily harm. There is the fear of man. There's a fear of what people think. There's a fear of failure. There's a fear of all these things. And I want to tell you tonight, God is the God of all of those things. God's the God of all those things. We have a faith to believe that God loved me enough to save me. Is God love me enough to be able to get a calling to me? Does He love me enough to be able to keep me in that calling? God loved me enough, but some man's going to overtake me and kill me. It's hard for me to get that together. It's not true. I have these fears and fears of being humble. Listen, humiliation. It's okay. It's okay. You don't have to fear. Step out in the Lord. Oh, the Lord can let you suffer humiliation. Jesus wasn't afraid of it, to be humbled. Jesus chose it. He picked it to Himself. But the scripture says that the Lord didn't give us a spirit of fear. And I think about a woman that I knew over near the community I grew up in. She was an elderly woman, and she was, all the time I knew her, she lived in absolute fear. She lived a fear of someone breaking into her home. Every night she would pay young girls in the community. She couldn't stay in her house by herself. And so she would pay somebody to stay with her, and over people would rotate in and out, and she did that. And I remember coming to the thought one time, it's never happened. All of the years, in her mind, someone broke in every night. Do you understand what she lived? She lived in torment because no one ever broke in, but in her mind, every night somebody broke in. It was the same reaction every night, to be afraid of it. Every night, and live the whole life like that. Do you know that we can live like that? We can have that idea of doom and fear and all that on us, and we live it as a saint of God, a child of God. We may live that moment over and over in our fears, and it never happened. And the Lord didn't give us that spirit. He didn't give us the spirit of fear, but He gave us something. He gave us a power. Power for a strength for the difficulties that we face. He gave us a power over the things that happen. To be able to face and know it by faith in God. In my mind. in my mind, I can understand that Jesus is giving me power to face whatever I'm going to face. He didn't give us the spirit of fear, but He gave us power. There are powers for something. I mean, you know what power in the vehicle is for? Romp down on it and you'll find out. There's power in there. I've had three of these Chevrolet vans, and this one's got the little motor in it, and I know it. I know it every time I go to pass somebody on the mountain. Because I'll say, I'm going to get around this, and old Betsy won't do it. I can romp it, and there's no kick in it. That other one with the big motor in it, I said, go, and she said, you, where'd you go? Just romp down. Power gets you there. The Lord give us power. You believe that tonight? Gird up your mind. God gives us power for, you don't have to worry about what's coming. Because He gave us power for that thing. When it's on the way, we got power to face that thing with. If you can believe He died for you, you can believe He gave you power. I'd say if He died for me, He gave me power. He gave me power to face the difficulties that would otherwise slay me. If He loved me, He don't want me slain. He wants to give me power that I can face that difficulty and have victory over it. That's what the Lord's given us. He didn't give us the spirit of fear, but He did give us love. There's a love that God gives us for Him. A love that will face the opposition, the enemy with. And say as Job says, say, though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. I love the Lord, and the opposition that comes my way isn't enough. That's what He wants to gird our minds up with. The fact that the Lord loves me and I got a love for the Lord. Opposition has to come my way, there's a love enough from, I know God loves me and I don't want to disappoint that. Paul said the love of God constraineth me. It constrains me. I'm going to tell you how it works. When I get a hold of how much God loved me, it makes me not want to disappoint that love. And Paul said the love of Christ constrains me. He loves me. He loved me so much and did so much for me and gave so much to me that I can't bring myself to disappoint that love. When it comes to that kind of temptation in place, and I gird up that thought, I gird up my mind, I gird that up around me. Jesus loves me so much that He died for me. I am constrained against the evil that would come. I don't want to have that blamed on the Lord, and to think that the Lord bore our sins, and for me to add one load to that, I wouldn't want to add one more load to my Lord's suffering. To do it, so it's constraining to me. I want to love back. I want the circle to be complete. He loved me. I want to love Him back. I want to love Him back. And fear interrupts our running. It makes us doubtful. In a sense, it is all doubt. Fear is doubt. Because the fear is saying that the Lord isn't able or He doesn't care enough. Something's going to happen to me that's going to be bad. And yet the Lord promised that there is no temptation taking you, but such is common to man. But He's able to give us, make a way of escape. He can do that. And He's going, and He wants to do that. And He gives us not the spirit of fear, that we should go around living a life of fear and worry about what others will do, but to know that God is still God. But He gave us power and love. And He gave us a sound mind. I want you to think about the idea of a sound mind. What do you think of when you think of somebody that has a sound mind? I think about somebody that's not easily moved. That can sit and listen can hear the storms coming and hear the winds and sit quietly and peacefully. I know that's not riled up. That's not moved to disquietness. but has a soundness of mind and judgment to be able to make good judgments between things and be able to handle things in a right and a proper way. The Lord wants us to gird. It's our responsibility, folks. I'm going to tell you, God isn't going to gird up your mind for you. And the more you involve yourself, the more you involve yourself in another. Somebody said to me recently, and it was a harmless thing, said something about, well, you ought to get into fly fishing. Well, I never really got into fly fishing. I trout fish some, but I fish some, but not fly fishing. Said, get into fly fishing. And I said, I'm hobbied out. Hobbied out. I got a few things I do that I don't do as much as I'd want to. I don't want any more. I'm not going to start skydiving. I'm not fly fishing. I'm not going to start. My children like to snowboard and ski. Good. I'm staying at the house where it's warm. I don't need no more hobbies. I don't need to learn anything else of the secular way. I don't need to think about anything else. If anything, I need to start drawing up some things that's taking my mind, draw it back up so that I can in full fervor give myself to the Lord. You can have all this and this and this, and I do this and I'm a golfer. Somebody said to me, oh, you gotta take up golfing. Golfing's way beyond me. I ain't going to go out there and hit no little ball at no hole. I ain't condemning anybody that hits no golf ball. But I'm going to say this. I don't need anything else to think about. I don't have any more needs for any loose flopping thoughts going on, trying to get a hold of something out there or get a this or that or doing those things. I don't need to do that. If I need to learn something, Lord, help me to learn it. But if I need to draw up my mind. We get so busy, we're not good stewards of God's stuff. We get so busy. The scripture says about a soldier that he not entangleth himself. A good soldier don't entangle himself with the cares of this life. I say, maybe that has to do with, well, if he has a wife and he got children, all his mind will be off that. His mind. That's exactly what I'm saying. He's got so much stuff to do. He's not a good soldier when if he can't get his mind into being a soldier dedicated to one cause and what he's going to do. And he's got so much to do there. And when you're encumbered with everything else and thoughts and things like that. And now really, I realize everybody, I mean, you got to work and got to do things. But we can get so busy in our minds that the Lord is saying to us, gird up. Gird, tie that stuff up so you can run a little while. Do some things. I want to tell you how it works. Years ago, this is just one of my experiences. But years ago, we went to see Sister Queen, an old sister up there, and she was in Parkersburg in the hospital. She was an old woman. She died shortly thereafter, but we went up to sing to her and pray with her and encourage her and all, and we went up to see her, and we did. And I kept seeing in another room over there, there was this younger lady, she kept coming over. And of course, we was over in the room having worship with her. And no doubt you could hear what we was doing. And we was praying and singing and all. And no doubt. And I kept seeing her come to the door and looking in there. And she did it a number of times. And I just tell you the truth, I regret this to this day. Because I think there was an opportunity there. It seemed to me like there was somebody there that was wanting something from over there. Well, we did what we did, and we went right on out and right on down. And I have actually seen her kind of, and we went right on. It wasn't, went around, and I got to thinking, Lord, help us. Got to do this, got to go do that, got to do all I've got to do. And there's somebody there. I don't know this for sure, the story, but I want to tell you. My heart tells me that there was something should have been said. Can we help you, man? You got somebody in there. There wasn't healthy people in there. She was obviously healthy, but there ain't healthy people in there. There's people that's in trouble. That's the kind of things that the Lord says, gird up your minds. Gird up your minds. There's a work ahead of you to do. There's something that you want to do. You're going to have to do some moving, some running. That's a literal idea of it, but the idea is that you're going to have to use your mind in the service of the Lord. You have to use your mind
It doesn't go without the mind. The Lord uses it through our minds, our thoughts. He inspires our thoughts. He inspires our thinking, our mind. And when it's cluttered and got so much Him drawn into it, He's given us a saying, if you want to do it, gird it up. Tie it up tight. Bring in the loose ends. You may have to drop off some things. You might have to say to some, hey, I've done all that I can do. I like the non-thinking type things better. Me, I like the non-thinking type things. Digging ditches is easier. I mean, it's hard work, muscles, but it takes no mind power to do it. Almost no mind power. If you're going to do straight, you lay a line, but you don't have to think too much about it. I don't have to come up with strong formulas, or I don't have to debate different things, and I don't have to get into politics. Oh, politics. Get into that politics. Over here, this one's that. That's a lie. This is this. Over here, that one's lying. That's a bad policy. It's a good policy. That's a bad policy. He says, gird up your mind if you want to run for the Lord. Gird up your mind. Is there anything wrong with any of that? Not in itself. But there's a place that we need to gird up the thinking. Gird it up. Get it up till we're thinking heavenly thoughts and good thoughts and things of the Lord. And where do you want me to go, Lord? And I'm contacting in the Lord and those kind of things. Rather than just loosely allowing our time to wither away in the frivolousness of life and just taking on nothings. Nothings. At the end of a lot of nothing, you have nothing. At the end of months of doing nothing, you end up with nothing at the end of it. And the Lord says, gird up your minds. Bring them into a place that you can have something. I want to touch a scripture. It comes to my mind. It's over in Samuel, 1 Samuel. You all probably familiar with this story. I think the 30th chapter. And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire and had taken the women captives that were within. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. Now that's some good weeping there. They wept themselves out. And then David's two wives were taken, Ahinoam and Jezreelite, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal the Canaanite, or the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. Now here was the situation. They had come up upon a hard time, and now they're looking for some answers about things, and it's really a human type thing to find blame. So they turn around and find blame with the leader. I want to tell you something this is just advice now. Before you start blaming the leaders, why don't you count God the ultimate leader? Because He is. And when God allows things in there, there ain't nothing a leader can do about it. So when something happens in your life, even though it looks like somebody might have been neglectful or derelict in their duties or whatever it might have been, why don't you go to the higher source of the thing and ask the Lord what is in it for you? You'll never think that way with a loose flowing mind. When your mind is just loose off on anything, but God wants us to be tucked up and thinking about the godly things. Lord, what do you want to do here? What kind of an example can I be? There is a fact is that if you will dare to serve the Lord, will you dare to serve the Lord tonight? Because if you dare to serve the Lord and say, Lord, send me, you will be made an example of by the Lord. The Lord will use you as an example. And sometimes it is just all glory. And then sometimes it's not. And sometimes it is showing somebody how to act when everything goes wrong. And it's how to act when the whole world seems to be falling around and people's persecuting you and acting ugly. There's going to be a saint that can stand there and show the glory of God. That's what you're daring to do if you want to really serve the Lord. If you'll gird up your mind and have the mind on, Lord, what do you have for me? And this is your hand that brought this to me. You believe that?
Or do you think that the devil can do something to you? You think circumstances happens and God was asleep and he didn't notice it coming. Somewhere in our faith, we're going to have to bring it together. That I really believe God. I really do believe God. And God could have stopped this. He could have altered it. He can change it. And he's still God in it. And let me be there in that place. And I want to tell you what David... Now, David's in a hard place here. Because he was running the show. And he had left them evidently without protection. And they got took. And now they wept themselves out. And now they turn. And it's not weeping now. They get a different look on their face. And their eyes draw down a little bit. And said, one says, starts it off, says, in my mind, anyway, it's the way it works. Is there any stones around here? Oh, yeah, there's a whole bunch of them out there. Go get them. Go get them. We got some unfinished business here. Let's stone David. David then is saying, now, wait a minute, guys. Wait a minute here. You know what he does? You could think a lot of things in a time like that. Now, how am I going to get out of this? A good politician could have done it, you know, talked straight enough. A good lawyer might have been able to do it. David girds up his mind, gets it all in a central thought and place. And it says that he encouraged himself. It said, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Well, we like those testimonies that says, I was in that bad place and that brother sent me a card. I was in that tough place and that brother sent me called me on the phone and just encouraged me right along. Or I heard that message from the Lord. Or God, just like heaven opened and God poured out the curse. You know what this says? It said, David encouraged himself in the Lord. What do you think that now? It doesn't say, so this is liberty. I'll be honest with you. What do you think David might have done? He might have went over and got real quiet and started, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Well, I wrote that. I just as well believe it. I was the one who wrote it. Maybe I got some other songs. Maybe he started singing. Maybe he started encouraging himself. Lord, you're a God. And this is big. But I remember when I was a young lad, there was a big giant down there. And by your spirit, I went down there and conquered that thing. I don't know. What do you think he did? I know what happens to me when I get in a battle. I start looking back at the times that the Lord worked for me. The Lord done this. The Lord done that. Bringing it to my memory. Girding up. I want to tell you what you do. You start chucking aside some stuff. When the battle gets intense enough, hitting the golf ball just ain't going to do it. Told this story many times, but I met a man in the hospital in University of Virginia. He had got cancer. He was from West Virginia. And the nurses said when they knew me and they knew the man, and they said, you've got to meet him. You two will hit along. So they introduced us finally. I got to talk with him, and boy, we hit it off. He liked to fish. He didn't like to fish. He loved to fish. His whole life was about fishing. He was a banker. He worked at a bank, but he loved to fish. Everything was about fishing. Well, we talked fishing and this and that, and boy, we got along really good. And I finally said to the guy, so what's going on? I wanted to get a little bit farther. So what's going on with you? What's going on? And he said, nothing to worry about there. He said, cancer come back on. He said, I had about 7 years ago. Beat it then. I'll beat it now. Hey, did you ever fish with such and such? Never even. Blew it off. Blew it off. It's nothing. It's nothing then, nothing now. Got her done. I ain't worried a bit about it. Go on. Well, time went on. Weeks went on. He didn't fare so good. He started faring worse. I got to talk to him a lot of times. I said, what do you talk about? He talked about fishing, being in the boat, like taking his grandson. In the next moment, he worked so he'd have my. He worked to fish. He lived to fish. Fishing was it. And I went there one time, and family was out in the hall crying. Nurses was all weeping and crying around in the hall. I went up and asked one of them, what's going on?
Doctor just had to tell him, no more they can do. It's a matter of, basically a matter of days, just a matter of days. I went home that day and just, I prayed and prayed. Lord, help me to have something to say to him. Help me to be able to say something to him, to break through, to say something. Got to go back before he died. By this time, he's down and the only thing he's doing is laying there by that point and looking up at the ceiling. And he wouldn't respond to me at all. He was alert. He was awake. But a bitterness set over him that he wasn't going to win it. And it come to my mind, you know, we put a lot of things in this life, don't we? There's people that will fill stadiums and shout and cheer. And I can't help from wondering when the last moment's going to be drawn on. Is that one more game really going to suit you? Was it in his mind if I could make one more cast out, if I could reel in one more big bass, it would be, I could go then. What do you say? It's not going to hold you up, folks. It's not going to hold you up. It's a failure of the mind. It's not going to work. It isn't in all of those things that we give so much attention and time to and things that we got to do and have and all those things. It's the Lord that's going to make the difference. I've seen those that had the Lord in those times of last moments of life, and it isn't like that. It is that they didn't set their hopes and their dreams on the team winning or the catching the bass or killing the big buck. What they set their heart on was an eternal God that they get to go be. It isn't any different. What they got their heart on, they've only tasted. What they got their heart on, they're just about to get to experience it wholesale. The whole thing. So the scripture says, gird up the loins of your mind. Tighten it up with them things that don't matter. But draw that stuff in. You got to do things. We're going to have an education. We're going to have to know things. It takes time to learn things. Sure, we're going to have all those things. But when all that supersedes and takes away from our ability to live for the Lord, folks, we've got too much going. We're too busy. It's robbing too much of our spirituality. It's robbing too much of the work of the Lord away. God wants people working for it. The whole reason why we should do anything else is to further the kingdom. Do it to show the kingdom, what the kingdom is in each and every place that we're at. What do we work for? To support our family and live for God. That's what we do. Lord, help us. David got in a strait and he encouraged himself in the Lord. His mind, his heart, it went to the Lord. Because there is where the hope has always been. You know, I'm going to say this because not all the kings had their mind like that. There was other kings that got in straits and they said, let's go to Egypt. Let's go get the Assyrians. Let's go get somebody to help us in this battle. Let's go call on the other gods. Let's go worship the other gods. Let's go see what the gods say. Let's call for the witch of Endor. Let's get some answers of something. And every one of them got failed, didn't they? But here's one that will never fail us. Scripture in Luke. Oh, let's see. Luke, maybe. I think I'm wanting Luke 10. Luke 10:38 says, now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. She had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving. Listen, I appreciate the servers. I appreciate the cooks. I appreciate all the hospitalities and all the things we get as we go. I appreciate all those kind of things. We've been to places, Brother Sammons used to say a lot. He'd look at it and say, I want to tell you, when Brother Sammons in meeting, he'd always hoped that the cooks would be in service. Say, will you sandwich? You guys need something from the Lord. Because he had it all. He had a perspective. It's better for you. Martha had a perspective. This is the Lord. This is worthy of
of doings. It's worthy of, if you're going to do it for anybody, you ought to do it for Jesus. Jesus, it's worthy to do it for. It's that. But she missed the mark because she cumbered herself with things, and she had her mind rushing with things, and she was hurried about it, and she was anxious about it, and she was worried about it, and she missed it, didn't she? She missed it, didn't she? she didn't hear what the Lord was saying. The eternal. But she honored the Lord. She was doing it for the honor of the Lord. Well, I've known people that said that they was going to make enough money so they could bless the saints. Well, ain't the way it works. That I'm going to make enough money so I can bless God. Like God don't have everything. God make me a rich man if he wanted to. Our Father has a cattle on a thousand hills. He owns the whole thing. You don't need that kind of a mindset. No, what you need to do is gird up the loins of your mind. Bring it in, because you may have it, but the Lord may not even be able to get it from you in a fine way. God wants more than that, something better than that. He wants us to have the right heart and mind, a heart and mind towards God. Godly things. The greatest thing is the things of God. The kingdom of God is what we look for. So he said about Martha, he said that Martha was, cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care? Now, I want to tell you, that's been made. There was a couple of times in the scriptures where people made that statement. Lord, do you not care? There's something to say to the Lord, isn't it? You don't care. Lord, you don't care. There was a time where some guys, remember the ones on the boat, and they come to the Lord and said, care not, we perish. You just seem like you're sleeping, and you're just going to let us perish. Is that what your mind is? Is that the way we look at the Lord? Lord, this trial's here, and don't you care? Don't you care? Gird up your mind. God cares. He cares. That ain't coming on you and him not caring. He cares. It'll work out. It'll work out. He cares. She goes and says, do you not care? Aren't you one of justice and fairness? Don't you care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? You're a part of this, Lord. You're being a part of it. You're part of the crime here. My sister should be in here helping me, instead of you telling her, get back in there and help your sister. You should have reproved her and said that your sister's got too much to do. You need to go in there and help. That wasn't what the Lord did. Martha, Martha. You got yourself all frantic. You just flop. Your mind's just flopping. Your mind's just flopping with anxieties and fears and worries about how things are going to turn out, and men's opinions, and a lot of other things about your own prides, maybe, or whatever it is. And you're just loose flowing mind. Your mind is just flowing, and you're not got it pinpointed on what you should be. Martha, gird up the loins of your mind and get it focused in on what's the eternal, what's the valuable, what's really necessary here. Isn't that we eat all of that? But you first things first. Get your mind in the right channel, Martha. Because the fact of it is that if you didn't fix anything, we'd leave from here and find something. Because you know why? Because he feeds the sparrows, Martha. You don't think of that passage? There's another passage to think about a little bit. We had it in service up at home not long ago. There's a fascinating thing about that passage, because it goes from different things. The birds. It talks about the birds there. Well, why do you worry about tomorrow and what you're going to eat when God is taking care of a bird? And I asked the question at home, well, what's a bird thinking about? What's a bird thinking about? Well, bird ain't thinking about anything. But bird ain't worrying about, if I put enough fertilizer on this, it'll grow and we'll have extra seeds or that. And I said, is there a lack of birds? You all have a shortage of birds here, Oklahoma.
Well, I went down to the park today, and I'll tell you, I'll answer your question for yourself. There's birds all over the place flying around down there. And God feeds the birds, and they got a brain about that big. Some of them little sparrows' brains about like that. They don't think of nothing like that. They ain't worrying themselves and all that kind of stuff. They're just a little bird. And then it goes on and says, consider the lilies. What do they think about? What is the main thing about a lily? Not only they're not like a bird, they don't think at all. They're totally inanimate. And you can't outclothe them. Solomon couldn't outclothe them, and neither can you. And there's the whole idea of it. Martha, what are you doing? You got your mind flopping around and worried about secular worldly things, and you're the very Son of God is teaching on eternal things, and you didn't even hear it. You didn't even hear it. You know, honestly, and Lord help us, because we're human, but I've done it. I mean, I've battled it before. I've battled on getting my mind so charged up with other things that I go to service, and when we get down to pray, I'm off doing something else. Now, I think it'd be a poor testimony, and only God looking down can know, but maybe it's why he sends messages. I don't know, because I ain't God. But I'll say this, supposing God's looking down into our congregation and pray, and is about to offer prayer, and he gets down, and this fellow over here, he's doing a job he's working on. This guy over here's got his boat out in the water. This woman over here's cooking a meal. This one's over here. What is that to worship? Gird up your minds. You want a good, rich, full service where the God of the Lord comes down and bless? Gird up your mind. Gird up the loins of your mind. Bring it in. My prayer almost every Sunday, I pray before our Sunday school, part of my prayer is Lord, help us to draw our minds in. Lay aside what I've done yesterday, what I'll do tomorrow, what I've got planned. Help me to take all that away, and help me to draw into you. Help me to be able to receive the word today. Help me to put everything else off to draw up. Draw that stuff up and tie it up and have it tight so it ain't flopping around. My thoughts ain't going all over the place. And what that is suggesting, I want us to get this, but what that is suggesting, that I am controlled. I've got it tightly, that I can think about it when I have to do it. I've got a good tight control of the thoughts of my mind. And when I have to drive, I'll have to think a little bit about the road. But it's in a real tight package. And when I have to work and do things, I got it in a real tight package, and I do it there, and I don't have to carry it all over the place with me. It's all tightly pulled up so that I might run a good race before the Lord, that I might have a mind to be able to hear Him, because He wants to talk. The Lord will talk to you, and He wants to talk to us. Martha, 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 Jesus says, left me to serve alone. Bid her, therefore, that she help me. Martha, Martha. You know, when you hear your name twice, it's always that way. It's never good when you hear it twice. It's like emphasizing. Martha, Martha. It's different to say, Martha, Martha, Martha. All right, you got my attention. Thou art careful and troubled about many things. You're just anxious and worried and just flowing and flopping in the wind. Your mind's going one place or another. Do you think it's really going to be impressive to me? I mean, creator of the universe, that you made a good meal? I mean, honestly, do you think it's really going to be impressive? You know, God don't look at things the way we do. Something that's pretty to us don't mean it's pretty to the Lord. And something that we might not think so pretty, the Lord might think is just beautiful. Because the Lord looks into the heart and the intents of people's actions. I will say this, if there was bills to be paid and there was a time to take out an offering, and some rich guy that had $1 trillion come up and put $1 billion in the box, and he just gave a little bit in his, he gave a little bit of what he had, and somebody else come up and give two mites, I'd rather have the rich man's offering. You get more done with it. But the Lord don't look at things like that, because everything's His anyway. And so the Lord looks at it completely different. And the way the Lord looked at it from Martha is, Martha,
Martha, you're going to miss it all, and you're anxious and worried, and you're not free in your spirit, and you're not free to serve the Lord, and you never will be as long as you're anxious and careful and worried about stuff. You're going to have to gird it up, Martha. You're going to have to gird it up. You're going to have to lay some of this aside. And when it comes to spiritual things, we can eat a cheese sandwich. It doesn't matter. Take care of the first things first. You got to cook, put it in a nice tight box, Martha. And the time you had to cook before we get here, give your mind to that. And when I get here, give your mind to the Word of God. It's you and I that's going to control our time by our minds. And what we do and what we take on and how much we got to do. I would suggest to you, if I have to, lay some things off. Lay it off. Lay it down. You don't have to do it. Lay it down. Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that one. Now, there's a lot of different speculation about that, because you can look at it the way it's read and say that he was talking about the one thing is the thing that he was giving Mary. The one thing. There's one thing needful is that. But a lot of people that look into these kind of things and wordings and all that says is that Jesus was basically saying, we don't need to have chicken and pork chops and steaks and green beans and potatoes and corns and peas. One thing's necessary. Have one thing and give and be done. If two things can be done and serve the Lord, do two things. If five things can be done and then time to do it, do five things. But only one thing is needful. Martha, serve the Lord. Give the Lord your heart, your mind. Gird up your mind with all the activities. And again, I want to say this again, and I'm not, maybe it's easier for me to say some, because I ain't very much into the technologies, but I see it all around me. I see it everywhere. We tried to pull out of the zoo parking lot today and got behind the van, and we don't want to be rude or anything like that, but there was a van sitting in front of us, and Leah was driving. We got behind the van, and we just sat there. Well, in your patience, possess ye your soul, but I wanted to get going. And we're sitting there behind this van, and we're twiddling our fingers and thinking, Lynn said, well, go around it. There wasn't room to go around it, so we're sitting behind it. And I thought, well, should we blow the horn? Because they're acting like had their head down. You can see the one with her head down right in front of us just blocking the road. Just sitting there blocking the road. Well, she's doing something sitting up there, and we're just sitting back there. Well, finally, she looks up and says, we didn't blow the horn. But she looks in there, and I said, she's texting. She was texting. After I kept saying, oh, no, I sent you out. I said, no, she was texting. She just pulled out of our way and stopped as we drove by her. She's doing that. Can't stop. Got to stop in the middle of the road to do it, folks. Got to stop right at the red. I've seen people, the red light, stop at the red light, do it as fast as they can. Well, they can't do it. Got my mind going on it all the time. Listen, it fires all the time. I got to do this. Video games is a flash. Of them, I will tell you, I'm concerned about it. I wonder really what it is. I don't think it's evil in itself, but I'm saying just watching a flashing screen and the commotion of it and all that, I know it charges me up at times. It's hard to do that late at night and then go right to sleep, because everything's a flashing and a running and doing all these things. Well, I want to tell you what the Lord says about it. Gird up the loins of your minds. And when you see anything, that hinders you from your due course and duty in the Lord, tie that thing up. Get it tied up. And there's something in saying, well, I preached this message here before, but it's fairly obvious to me, because there's an exception in the scripture for the Sabbath day. If your ox falls in the ditch, Jesus said, Who of you, he said to the Jews, who of you whose ox fall in the ditch wouldn't get him out on the Sabbath day? Well, it's illogical that you would get the ox out of the ditch. So go get you 100 oxen. Get you 1,000. See how many Sunday mornings you don't show up at service because you're pulling oxen out of ditches. The more you get, the more you're doing. The more your mind has, the more responsibilities you take on, the more duties you're going to put on your own self and all those things. And before long, it's a bondage. Lord, help us. Before long, it's a desire. Before long, it's a want. It sure can make some services boring.
when all I've been doing is flashing and playing and doing this and it can sort, and I go and I'm sitting still. And somebody's talking a lot. And you know, sometimes I wish everything was super anointed for us so we could all just feel real good. But it don't happen that way. And the Lord ain't going to do it that way either. He wants you to be in a place to hear Him. And He don't have to crack the lightning and the thunder to get you to do it. But it would be beneficial to us to have our minds in it. I think, Lord help me, I think there's souls. I think there's souls out there that need to be saved. I think we pass by them on our regular course of life. And we probably don't have our loins of our mind girded up to the point to where we're looking for the opportunity to be able to talk to a soul. To be able to give something of the Lord that we have freely. To be able to give it to them because we're going on in the normal course of a natural life. And we're taking care of everything else we have to do. And along the sides of the roads of our life and along the at the post office or at the thing. I've seen people in the time of their needs be touched. I've had them there at those kind of places and see that makes a difference in their life where you simple do some simple little deed of kindness or love. Every year my wife around Christmas time, she makes all these goodies and we eat these goodies and we do that. But she takes plates to the neighbors. You'd just be surprised what a little thing will do sometime. No, didn't know the postmaster's mistress, whatever you say, she's postmaster, she's a woman, and took her a plate one time. And after I got to talking with her mother was sick and dying, and she was in a bad sort. And I come up and handed her a big plate full of goodies and said, my wife likes to give these goodies out. We wanted you to have some. And she busts out in tears, starts crying. And you just never know. You just never know, but you can just go on by all the hurting, sick people out there and somebody that the Lord is saying, you never even stopped. You never even stopped. I spent my life chasing after you and getting you, and all you do is just keep going by the subjects that I want you to stop at. Because you don't think about it. You don't have a mind for it. You know, you got a mind for play, you got a mind for work, you got a mind for duties, but you don't have a mind for the kingdom of God. Isn't that sad? Would that be sad of any people? Well, Lord, help us. Martha had a mind to cook, but she didn't have a mind for the spiritual things. Martha, you can go on cooking. You can be a great. You can be Martha Stewart. You can be a great. You can be known for somebody. Martha is a cook. But the souls in your life will go hungry spiritually because you never sat and heard anything. You never got anything to give back to anybody. Martha, you're going to have something. You want to share? Give food. Give the food of life. I'm going to tell you can touch hungry people with literal food. It's a good way. It's a good introduction. But if all you want them to rub their belly and say, you're such a fine cook, you've missed the point. Our charge as Christians, our charge is the souls of man. It's our charge. It's what the Lord wants us to do. Lord, help us. Gird up the loins of your mind. Draw it away from all the... And it ain't sin, folks. It ain't sin. That ain't what gets the saints. It's the overabundance of doings, of things, of things that isn't as important. You pray for me.